little thing called murder. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a little thing we call murder. I'm Megan.
I'm Jaden.
How is everyone on this lovely day?
Honestly, yesterday felt so fall-y.
It did.
It was beautiful.
Except, so last night I went to the Pirates game with two of my friends, which we were there for like 5 minutes, and then we kind of just like walked around. I mean, it's the Pirates game.
Yeah.
But it was a beautiful night. However, for some reason, it was so humid. Like, so humid. Like, almost worse than going down to Florida. And I don't know how you can get any worse than Florida. But, like,
no idea.
Just, like, the humidity was sticking to your skin and you were all sticky. When I got in my car at, like, 10 o'clock last night to drive home, it said it was 86 degrees outside. I was like, what the fuck? No. Maybe over the mountains for you guys, where you're at.
Well, we also had a fucking torrential downpour. Like, recently it's been raining pretty bad, but Tyler and I, we had to go to Walmart. And, well, Walmart, we were also
Was that the Walmart where I almost got my accident?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't think we talked about that on here.
No, we did.
We did? We
definitely did, because that was a major event that happened that day.
Yes, I know. Just that set, like, my anxiety for the rest of the day. That lady wouldn't stop backing up. I was like, bro, my car is bright orange. How do you not see me here?
I don't know what more you want from me, lady.
Right. Anyway, but, sorry.
Yeah. Because I also have to find a outfit for, because this coming weekend, how the fuck is it here already? It's our batch parties. So I have to find a black outfit.
Why?
So we were going to the malls and stuff.
Wouldn't you be in white?
I'm white isn't for me. My skin's white, my hair's white, my whole being is white. So I was like, guys, white's not my color. And they were like, okay, well, pick a color. And I didn't pick. And then so Heather was like, Jaden, you're gonna wear black and we're gonna wear pink. And I said, perfect, black is my favorite. So yeah, that's why I'm wearing black. Oh my gosh. We were going to the mall and stuff like that. But anyway, our first stop was Walmart. We're like leaving the house and I'm like, ooh, feels like it's going to rain. We get to Walmart, like we start, like we're not even to Walmart yet. And it is raining so hard. Actually, it was really cool. Like, I don't know if I've ever actually seen this before. I could see the rain.
The wall, that like we were driving wall of into. Rain.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was so fucking cool.
That's when you're like, oh shit, I need to run for cover.
Right?
Yeah.
So we're like driving and the road was like kind of flooded. I don't know how we didn't get stuck. But anyway, we make it to Walmart. And we're like, well, let's just sit in the car. We'll wait it out. There was no waiting it out. And Tyler was like, I got to get to the pharmacy. Like, we got to go. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? So we had to run in this rain into Walmart. Soaked. I was fucking soaked.
That's so funny. Yeah, we've been getting a lot of rain from the hurricanes that were coming up. But
That makes sense.
That's what all the rain is. It was like Henry, I think was his name, or Frank.
I don't know.
I called the hurricane a he. But I mean, they have human names, whatever. But
yeah, no, they do.
That's funny. Well, I wanted to start off, since like we got all into like that horoscope talk, we should just have that as like a staple. I have the quote of the week from my app, which, you know what, take it with a grain of salt. It might apply to you, it might not, but it's good for everyone to keep in your mind. It says, sometimes people are there to show you what you don't want. And I think that is a very important look on.
Yes. Yes, so, I agree. Yeah, mine for today says, make decisions based on desire.
Everyone should get the CoStar app.
Yeah.
That is Co-Star. It's really good. All right. So we're going to jump in. And this is really funny. So I actually got this case from my dad.
Okay.
A couple weeks ago, we were at like some beer fest thing. And I was sitting with my parents. And my dad was talking to me about this guy who I guess recently passed that reminded him of this big case that happened. Mm-hmm. And he started talking to me about it, and it was really interesting. And then just a couple of days ago, I was like, Dad, what was the name of that, the last name of that guy? And he was like, are you doing it for your case? I was like, yeah. And he's like, you have to give me credit, which is so funny because remember in the beginning that my dad was like, don't ever mention me on here.
Yes. Yes.
And I was like, all right. Okay.
Now so. He has jumped on the wagon. He's like, yeah, shout me out.
Well, now we'll all be hanging out. And all of a sudden I hear my voice and I look over at my dad and he's like smiling over at me because he has our podcast. I'm like, Dad, I just edited that and that just came up. Do you really think I want to hear this right now?
Do you know how many times I listen to that editing? Just kidding. As long as it's not Ted Bundy, I'm fine.
Yeah. Fair, fair. Even though I can't stand the sound of my voice. And I'm sure a lot of people are like, yep.
Same. Same with your voice too.
Hey, you guys are the ones listening to this. You're choosing to listen to this. So that's on you if you don't like our voices.
That's what I tell him all the time. When he's like, he'll be like, Jaden, you're weird. It's something I did. And I go, yes. But you picked me, so it's you are the flawed one.
For me, yes. Yeah. Okay, so this also is like a local kind of case, I guess. Well, mm-hmm. It involves someone who's kind of local. But anyway, okay. So I got all of my information off of Wikipedia. So take that for what it is.
Yes, our saving Wiki grace. Is fucking phenomenal. Like,
yes, don't use it for like college papers.
Even though it's like the best source ever.
Right. Okay. So we are talking about Joseph Yablonski, also known as Jock. And I'm going to keep talking, like saying his name is Jock throughout. He was born.
Why do I know that name?
I don't know, but keep listening. Cause okay. I didn't know about this case. I'd be shocked if you knew, but I guess if you have people that like worked in like the coal mining industry, they would probably know. But anyway, so he was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on March 3rd. Of 1910. So we've got
now we got Pisces. 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, right. So he was the son of Polish immigrants and attended public schools. Jock began working in the mines as a boy, joining his father in the industry. So he's just like working alongside his dad. Now, after his father was killed in a mine explosion, Jock became active in the United Mine Workers and began to advocate for better working conditions for the miners.
Good.
Right. So in 1940, at this point, he's 30 years old. Jock was elected as a representative to the International Executive Board. So in 1958, he was appointed president of the UMW District 5. And the UMW is the United Mine Workers. So I'm just going to keep saying UMW, UMWA is like United Mine Workers of America. So just for public knowledge, and I'm sure I say it later on. Sure. But. So as a young man, Jock married Ann Huffman, and they had a son named Kenneth J. Yablonski, and he was born in 1934. Jock then married again to Margaret. Well, obviously he got a divorce, but he married again to Margaret Rita Wasik. Wasikick? I don't know.
Okay.
An amateur playwright. And they had two children, Joseph, also known as Chip, in 1941 and Charlotte in 1944. Mm. So both of his sons became labor attorneys, representing their father in his union activities and later in private practices.
That's why you have kids.
Exactly.
To work for you.
Exactly. So Charlotte became a social worker in Clarksville, Pennsylvania, where her family lived. She took leave of work in 1969 when her father's campaign was up, like he was running for the UMWA presidency. It was during this election period that Jock really clashed with Tony Boyle, who was elected president of the UMW in 1963, over how the union should be run. He believed that Tony did not adequately represent the miners and he was too cozy with the mine owners. So let's talk about Mr. Tony Boyle here for a sec. Gotcha. So Tony was born in gold mining camp in Bald Butte, Montana, about 2 miles southwest of Marysville in 1904 to James and Catherine Boyle. His father was a miner, so that kind of ties into how he got involved with the mining business. So the Boyle family was of Irish descent, and several generations of Boyles had worked as miners in England and Scotland. So Tony attended public schools in Montana and Idaho before graduating from high school. He went to work in the mines alongside his father also. Shortly thereafter, his father died of tuberculosis, a lung disease often associated with mining or exacerbated by its conditions. Mm-hmm. So Tony married Ethel Williams in 1928, and they had a daughter. Right.
I feel like that's the name of that center man.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, yes. So they had a daughter named Antoinette.
Ooh.
I know, that's a very fancy name.
Yeah.
So Boyle joined the United Mine Workers of America soon after going to work in the mines. He was appointed president of District 27, which covers Montana, and served in that district until 1948. So during World War II, Boyle served on several government wartime production boards and on the Montana State Unemployment Compensation Commission. So in 1948, the UMWA president at the time, John L. Lewis, named Tony as his assistant in the UMWA. He served under that title until 1960, acting as John's chief troubleshooter and union's chief administrator. John simultaneously appointed Tony director of UMWA District 50 and regional director of the Congress of Industrial Organizations for the four Western states. So Tony was then elected as vice president of UMWA in 1960. And that same year, John retired and 73-year-old Thomas Kennedy assumed leadership of the union. And Thomas had been the vice president since 1947. Although John Lewis favored Tony as his successor, Thomas was well-liked and well-known. However, Thomas was in failing health, and Tony took over many of the presidential duties. So in November of 1962, Thomas became too frail to continue his duties, and Tony was named acting president. Thomas Kennedy then died on January 19th of 1963. Tony was then elected president shortly thereafter, handpicked by John Lewis. However, they both weren't well-liked by the miners themselves. So from the beginning of his tenure, Tony faced significant backlash from the rank and file miners and UMWA leaders. The miners' attitudes about their union had changed. Miners wanted greater democracy and local autonomy for their local unions. There was a widespread belief that Tony was more concerned with protecting the mine owners' interests than those of the members. Mm-hmm. Grievances filed by the union often took months, sometimes years, to resolve, lending credence to the critics' claim. Wildcat strikes occurred as local unions, despairing of UMWA assistance, sought to resolve local disputes with walkouts. So tying this back to Jock didn't get along with Tony. He believed that Tony didn't adequately represent the miners and was too cozy with the mine owners. So in 1965, like as their heads started butting more, Tony removed Jock as president of District 5 under changes enacted by Tony. He made the change that district presidents were appointed by him rather than being voted in and elected by the union members of their district, giving Tony more control.
That seems pretty shady.
Very shady. This Tony guy has shady written all across his forehead.
Like, who voted? Did no one have to vote on this? He just said this is the new law?
Yeah, and I guess, like, doing my research, it looked to be a very corrupt system. Gotcha. Until changes were enacted, and I'll get into that later.
Okay.
So in May of 1969. Nice.
You said 69 earlier, and I was about to say it, but I was like, hold it in, Jaden, hold it in.
Jock announced his candidacy for president of the union in the election to be held later that year. As early, allegedly, as early as June, Tony was, again, allegedly discussing the need to kill his opponent.
Fucking Christ.
I know. Jock was the first anti-administration insurgent or rebel candidate in 40 years in an election widely seen as corrupt. However, Tony defeated Jock in the election held on December 9th by a margin of nearly 2-1. I don't really understand this, but it's what it said, so I'm just going to read it. It was like 80,000 votes versus 46,000, so like half.
Yeah.
Although Tony won, the election was the first since 1920 that the incumbents had less than 80% of the vote, or that there was any opposition at all. Mm-hmm. Observers expected the union to make changes in response to the growing movement that was demanding change.
Yeah.
But on December 18th, 1969, Jock asked the United States Department of Labor, or DOL, to investigate the election for fraud. He also initiated 5 lawsuits against the UMWA in federal court on related matters. He alleged that Tony and the UMWA had denied him use of the union's mailing list as provided for by law. He had been removed from his position as acting director of Labor's Nonpartisan League in retaliation for his candidacy. The UMW Journal was being used by Tony as a campaign and propaganda mouthpiece. The UMWA had no rules for fair elections and had printed nearly 51,000 excess ballots that should have been destroyed. Right? And the UMWA had violated its
fiduciary
had violated its fiduciary okay,
I only knew what word you were talking about because
okay, so the UMWA violated its fiduciary duties by spending union funds on Tony's re-election. Right? So, like, and reading how much Tony got versus Jock, which Jock really seemed like he was for the workers.
Yeah.
Tony didn't. Seems very shady. Also knowing that there were 51,000 ballots that weren't destroyed.
That should have been. Yeah. Especially because he only won by, like, 40,000.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So these charges and their resolution are outlined in the civil case of Kenneth J. Yablonsky and Joseph A. Yablonsky, his kids, versus the United Mine Workers of America, August 3rd, 1972, which his sons carried out. In case any of you guys want to look up the case, that's the case that it is. So on December 31st, 1969, Jock, his wife Margaret, and his 25-year-old daughter, Charlotte, were fatally shot as they slept in their Clarksville home in Pennsylvania. The bodies were discovered on January 5th, 1970 by his son, Kenneth. Which, can you imagine? I can't.
No.
Walking into your house and your family's dead. So.
For those of you at home, my mouth is on the floor. That's why there's no sound.
Everyone's sitting here listening, like, why is she going on and on about coal miners? But, like, what?
Yeah.
So, originally, this was thought to being a robbery gone wrong. Uh-huh. However, an investigation found that the killings had been ordered by Tony, who had demanded Jock's death on June 23rd, 1969, after a meeting with Jock in the UMWA headquarters that turned into a shouting match. In September 1969, the UMWA Executive Council member Albert Pass received $20,000 from Tony, who had embezzled the money from union funds to hire the gunmen to kill Jock.
Imagine being such a little bitch that you know you can't beat him, so you have to kill him. What a little bitch.
Wow. Right?
You're the fucking worst.
Right? So he hired Paul Gilley, an out-of-work house painter and son-in-law of Slew Huddleston. I don't think I said that first name right, but we're just going to go with it. So he was a minor of the MWA official and two other drifters named Aubran Martin and Claude Vealey. So the murder was ordered, then postponed until after the election to avoid suspicion falling on Tony. After three failed attempts to murder Jock, the killers completed the assassinations and deciding to kill everyone in the house. So originally it was only set to kill Jock, but then they were like, fuck it, let's just kill everyone.
I wonder if they went back to Tony and said, you owe us more money.
Right?
I fucking would.
I would too. Well, I wouldn't put myself in the thing to begin with. But also if true. I were, but... if I were, I would.
Pay up, bitch.
Right? So when they did so, mm-hmm. they left so many fingerprints behind that the police identified and captured them within 3 days. So, like, he didn't even hire good hitmen.
God. We love the bat. We love the dumb criminals. We love
yes,
them.
We do. We truly love them. So Gilley, Martin, and Vealey were arrested days after the assassinations and indicted for Yablonski's death. All were convicted of first degree murder. Gilley and Vealey were sentenced to death. The death sentences were later reduced to life in prison due to Furman versus Georgia. I don't know that case, but if you do, that's why it was reduced. Anyway, so Martin avoided execution by pleading guilty and turning in state's evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, investigators arrested Paul Gilley's wife, Annette Lucy Gilley, her father, Slew Huddleston, Albert Pass, who had given money to pay the conspirators for murder, and pass his wife. All were convicted of murder and conspiracy to commit murder in trials extending to 1973. So both Annette Gilley and her father, Slew Huddleston, pleaded guilty in 1972, receiving life sentences to avoid the death penalty. So a few hours after Jock's funeral, several of the miners who had supported him met in the basement of the church where the memorial service was held, and they met with attorney Joseph Raw. It's R-A-U-H.
Wait, that reminds me of the TikToks where they go, where are you at?
Perfect.
Ooh.
That was funny.
I'm Joseph, still laughing.
Joseph Raw. I don't know if that's how. Yeah. Okay. I need like to stop being like. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. Just assume I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
Okay. And drew up.
Just assume that everything that comes out of our mouths is wrong.
Yes.
Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Most of the stuff. I mean, we do research sometimes. Sometimes we don't do into like further research. I feel like we should, but we just don't have time for it. So Joseph Raw was the attorney that they met with and drew up plans to establish a reform caucus within the United Mine Workers. So the day after the bodies of the Yablonskis were discovered, 20,000 miners in West Virginia walked off the job in a one-day strike protesting against Tony Boyle, who they believe was responsible for the murders. And this was before they that was before they like concretely like proved that it was him.
Mm-hmm.
In early March of 1971, Tony was indicted for embezzling $49,250 in union funds to make illegal campaign contributions in the 1968 presidential race. He was convicted in December of 1973 to a 3-year sentence and imprisoned in a federal penitentiary in Springfield, Missouri. Wow, 3 years. 3 years, slap on the wrist.
Could they, like, not prove that he actually hired these people?
No, this was for running illegal...
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah, running illegal campaign... Or running funds to make an illegal campaign.
Okay, I thought this was for everything. I was like, what the fuck? Okay.
Now, on September... So he was convicted December of 1973... But on September 6th of 1973, Boyle was arrested on first-degree murder charges in the deaths of Jock Yablonski and his family.
So get him.
Yes, right? That month, Boyle attempted to commit suicide but failed.
What a little bitch.
I know, right?
Gone.
Right?
You get caught. I hate this man. I mean, obviously we hate him, but I also hate him on top of the normal hatred.
Yes, exactly. So national attention had been riveted on the investigations into the conspiracy to slay labor leader Joseph A. Yablonski. So now a nationwide FBI investigation produced significant evidence to charge 3 Cleveland area residents with conspiracy to slay Yablonski. Through grand jury proceedings, a series of 3 conspiracy indictments were returned, charging 5 individuals. The investigation was conducted by U.S. Attorney Robert A. Krupansky with Assistant U.S. Attorney Robert Jones, an Ohio lawyer. Finally, documentation and witnesses led to Boyle, quote, Tony Boyle charged in Yablonski's killing, on September 6th of 1973. His trial lasted from March 25th until April 11th of 1974, when he was convicted. Why is it pronounced convicted when it's spelled almost exactly like indicted?
Well, naked and baked. Yeah. I spelled the same.
That was a quick, like,
well, it's because you always see those things that are like on like Facebook and stuff. How come we say naked, but we don't say baked? And so it just was fresh in my brain.
I feel like that's why they say that English is the hardest language to learn.
Yeah,
especially because I know a lot of the people that do listen to our podcast are from overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, props to you guys for learning English as your second language, because I can't even speak English and it's my first language. Seriously. So, he was sentenced to 3 consecutive terms of life in prison. And on January 28th of 1977, the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania overturned Boyle's conviction and ordered that he be given a new trial. The court found that the trial judge had improperly refused to allow a government auditor to testify. Boyle's attorneys said that the auditor's testimony could have exonerated Boyle, which I highly doubt, but they're just going to throw whatever they can. Mm-hmm. So on January 16th of 1978, Tony's murder retrial was set to resume. He had been convicted, but the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court had set aside the convictions on grounds that Boyle was denied the right to present a complete defense. So Tony was tried a second time for the Yablonski family slayings and found guilty again on February 18th, 1978. Boyle then filed a third appeal to overturn his conviction in July of 1979, but the motion was denied. So Tony served his murder sentence at the State Correctional Institution, Dallas in Luzerne County, Pennsylvania. I have no idea where that is.
The only reason I know that is because when I was at BBDA school, I learned that that was a county because people were from there. But it makes me think of Loser.
Oh,
I can think of. Now you'll never forget it.
True.
I'm from Loser County. I'm sorry if you're from there. I'm not
so
talking.
Is that how you pronounce it, loser?
No, it's actually loser or whatever. Okay, but so I just think of loser. Right. Yeah.
Okay, that's so great. Any of Jaden's friends that she met at Baby DA school, sorry for you guys living in Loser County, but
yeah. We've renamed it.
Right?
Yes. That's how much power we have here on this podcast.
Exactly.
Thank you for tuning in.
So Tony suffered from a number of stomach and heart ailments in his final years and was repeatedly hospitalized. He had a stroke in 1983, and he died at a hospital in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, on May 31st of 1985 at the age of 80.
Oh, fuck him.
I know. I mean, I feel like going from, because he was like, I'm just trying to think how long that he was in prison versus like how long he was in power. I feel like he really did like suffer because he tried to take his own life. He couldn't do that. So, you know, he was miserable for those like 20, 30 years that he was in prison. So
true.
I hope he was miserable until the day he died.
Yes.
But yeah, no, it's just so heartbreaking because like the Ublons, like Jock seems like the best person for the job. Like he was all about the people. He wanted better working conditions for all of them. And then there's fucking Tony that's like, no, let me just kill you. Like I hate people so much
because money is more important, and who has the money? The corporation and the mining big people, and not the workers.
Right.
Yay.
You know, I was talking to my friends yesterday when we were at the Pirates game. Okay. Mm-hmm. They had rain delay tickets, and we all got like, they had free tickets. Mine were only $25, but their tickets were like the second to last row at the tippy tippy top. Mm-hmm. And we get up there, which I honestly kind of prefer like those seats because you see everything that's going on when you sit down on the front row, you can't really see everything. Yeah. So I think it's like a plus side to like getting quote unquote the worst tickets, the worst seats or whatever, because they're really not. And especially if you ever went to any of the like Pittsburgh stadiums, like Heinz Field or PPG Paints, like there isn't a bad seat in any of those stadiums. Like I've been to stadiums where like you're literally behind a wall and you can't see anything that's going on. So like I think I have that perception in there that like you really don't have a bad seat. However, it was like, so we paid $25 and we're up at the tippy tippy top. There aren't even cup holders in those seats up there. I was like,
really?
Yeah. And then we're walking up. I was like, you know how weird it is? And I know my dad's listening. Sorry, Dad. But like my dad, for his job, he would get like box seats from like clients and whatnot. And then you would go and like they have free food. And it's like these nice rooms and all this like super good food, like cheesecake, stuff that you can't even buy like down at the stands, like as general admission. And I'm like, isn't it weird that like the more money you have, the less you spend, but then the less money you have, it's like the more you spend. It makes no sense to me.
Well, it's because we hate poor people. But
I'm poor.
I won't go off on
it. It sucks. And like the older I get, the more I see it.
It's like in that one, it's my like favorite fucking thing. It's in the, not that I watch a lot of the Kardashian things. Actually, I don't even know if I watched this episode, but I know it's like a big meme where Kim's like, oh, they sent me a free like gym membership or yoga membership. And Scott Disick goes, wow, like, because you wouldn't have been able to afford it if they didn't send that to you. Yep.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's just like, what the hell? It's frustrating. And I'm sure everyone feels the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, all right, I want to go back on CoStar and see what...
Ooh, wait, hold on.
Oh, go ahead. I'm going to go on and see what our thing says. But
I want to say, I feel like it's like a beer distributor. It's either called Jablonski or Jablonski, or I am making it up.
Hold on. So in Greensburg, because I went to school with her dad, owns Jablonski beer distributor in Greensburg, if that's what you're thinking of.
Maybe.
Because yeah. It is Jablonski. It's, like, it's not Jablonski.
Okay, never mind. I was like, why do I know this name?
Right. Okay. All right. So let's see what our thing is. Okay, so today, August 28th, we're recording on Saturday. Mm-hmm. You have the remarkable ability to think with your feelings, and Jaden can withstand disagreement. They want to hear all your secret thoughts right now. Specific questions or requests for clarification is not aggressive, but a sign that they do not feel sure about your point of view. Do you not feel right with my point of view right now?
No, I was, when you were reading that, I was thinking about how we're reading this at the end and we want to hear our listeners' thoughts and specific questions or requests for clarity.
So maybe it's not for each other. It's from us to you guys. Right.
Mine is, the beginning is slightly different. You have the remarkable ability to know something about everything, and Megan can withstand ambiguity.
I love constructive criticism.
Yeah.
That's why I sent you my little survey for work. So I have to do this. It's like a year and a half to 2 year long training for work. Mm-hmm. And I sent Jaden out this little survey thing that you had to do, and it was for constructive criticism. Well, everything on this freaking sheet is positive, and I'm sitting here like, well, what's constructive about it?
Yeah.
I don't get it, but
I feel like I could have circled more, but I was like, only do 5 or 6. That's what they told you, Jaden. Well, so I tried to pick the best ones.
That's what I went, because I had to do a self-assessment, mm-hmm. and it was the exact same paper, but they changed like the document to saying self-assessment instead of external assessment. And I was like, I could really see myself in pretty much all of these, but like, mm-hmm. I guess the ones that mean the most to me, I'm going to circle.
Yeah. And it really bothered me because I think I had a lot in one of the columns and like maybe one in the other one. And I was like, should I switch it to the other one just to make me feel better?
Well, see, I originally looked at the external one first. I was like, oh, uh-huh. there must be something, because I had to compare mine with the ones from the external assessments with this like total up sheet or whatever, like a evaluation uh-huh. of it. And I was like, oh, the different columns must mean different like personality types or something. No, mm-hmm. it literally didn't mean anything. The columns, they didn't mean anything.
Okay. So it was just haphazard. Okay.
I don't know what I learned from that, but.
Yeah. Well, you get to check it off.
I do have to learn that I have to be more risk-taking.
Oh.
Because I didn't circle that for myself and no one circled that for me. And I was like, well, I know I'm not risk-taking. I don't like being outside of my comfort zone. I don't think anyone does, but. Anyway, so what's exciting for this week?
Well, this weekend, so we leave after work on Thursday to go to Ocean City for our batch party. Yeah,
that's so exciting.
I'm very excited. I think we might have to go up to State College tomorrow because I have to find a black club outfit. Did we talk about the colors on here? Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did, that you're black and everyone else is pink.
Yeah. Okay, I couldn't remember. I was like, did we talk about this before we recorded? Was I just talking to you? Okay, just cut that part out. Because I also have to buy a bathing suit and I haven't found anyone in store and I'm like trying to find something. I'm like, what the fuck? So yeah, stressed out, but it's gonna be fun. I can't wait to go to the beach. Always stressed
out.
Hashtag always stressed. Title of this episode.
Yes. Right? That should be. Anyway.
Okay.
So, well, okay. Before I do my, because I just thought of when we said always stressed. Mm-hmm. I had my therapy appointment yesterday. Mm-hmm. And you know you're in bad shape when your therapist is like, so you only come in once a month. But do you have like an open slot next week that you can come in? And I was like, I don't, next week I've got a wedding and this and this and this. And she's like, okay, what about the week after? I was like, oh, I've got this and this. And then she's like, what about the week after that? I'm like, I'm going to Universal. She's like, okay, so what days are you available? Yeah.
That's honestly hilarious. I love it.
So I'm on a waiting list because they're currently like booked for like the next week kind of thing. And I do have a few days open. So she's like, if anyone cancels, and she's like, I do get cancellations pretty mm-hmm. often. She's like, you'll be first on the list. And I was like, oh, you okay. I mean, I was just filling her in on things that have happened, like the dog, my back, just like everything. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I spent the entire hour just word vomiting to her.
That's what I do all the time.
I think that's what you're meant to do. But
yep.
She was just like, oh, this is a lot that we need to dig through. So I was like, yeah, I know I've been stressed. Just, yeah. But I always feel so much better. Even like me word vomiting, I felt so much better mm-hmm. after our call. But so my good thing for the week is my friend's getting married and I'm going to West Virginia for her wedding. And Ooh. I've got two of my friends from college. They're flying in and they're staying until Sunday. And we're going to like the pick game. We're going to go tailgate with my family and it's going to be a fun time. So I've got a lot going on, but it's a lot of good things.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, this is going to be a fun weekend for everyone.
I hope everyone, but yeah, for us, it'll be
a fun weekend. Well, it's Labor Day for everyone else, so.
Oh, yeah. Everyone gets that extra day off. We'll be thriving.
Yes. I'll be sleeping. 30, 30, and thriving. Even though we're not 30.
Yes. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up
for
us. So if you guys have any questions, you can email us at alittlethingcalledmurder@gmail.com. You can go on our Instagram, a little thing called murder. Twitter is ALTCmurder that we don't use. I think that's everything. Rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts because I haven't said that for a good number of episodes. And
keep sharing us to all your friends.
Yes. Yes. Share. We love the more the merrier.
You.
Yes. Well, you guys have a wonderful week. Wish you nothing but the best wherever this finds you. And don't forget to always trust your gut.
Because it's better to be fucking safe than fucking sorry.
Amen. All right. You guys have a wonderful week. We'll see you next time.
Bye.